ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 6 चैप्टर 1 टेक्स्ट नंबर 31। विकर्षतोऽन्त हृदयात् दासे पतिम् अजामिलम् यमप्रेष्यान् विष्णुदूता वारयाम् आसुरोजसा। ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस A.C. भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद। The order carriers of Yamaraj were snatching the soul from the core of the heart of Ajamil, the husband of the prostitute. But with the resounding voices, the messenger of Lord Vishnu, the Vishnu Dutas, forbade them to do so. Purport: A Vaishnava, one who has surrendered to the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu, is always protected by Lord Vishnu's order carriers. Because Ajamila had chanted the holy name of Narayan, the Vishnu Dutas not only immediately arrived on the spot, but also at once ordered the Yamadutas not to touch him. By speaking with the resounding voices, the Vishnu Dutas threatened to punish the Yamadutas if they continued trying to snatch Ajamila's soul from his heart. The order carriers of Yamaraj have jurisdiction over all sinful living entities. But the messengers of Lord Vishnu, the Vishnu Dutas, are capable of punishing anyone, including Yamaraj, if he wrongs a Vaishnava. Materialistic scientists do not know where to find the soul within the body with their material instruments. But this verse clearly explains that the soul is within the core of the heart, Hridaya. It is from the heart that the Yamadutas were extracting the soul of Ajamila. Similarly, we learn that the super soul, Lord Vishnu, is also situated within the heart. Ishvara Sarva Bhutanam Hrideshe Arjuna Tishtati. In the Upanishads, it is said that the super soul and the individual soul are living in the same tree of the body as two friendly birds. The super soul is said to be friendly because the Supreme Personality of Godhead is so kind to the original soul that when the original soul transmigrates from one body to another, the Lord goes with him. Furthermore, according to the desire and karma of the individual soul, the Lord, through the agency of Maya, creates another body for him. The heart of the body is a mechanical arrangement, as the Lord says in the Bhagavad Gita 18:61. Ishvara Sarva Bhutanam Hrideshe Arjuna Tishtati Bhramayam Sarva Bhutani Yantra Rudani Mayaya. The Supreme Lord is situated in everyone's heart, O Arjuna, and is directing the wanderings of all living entities who are seated as on a machine made up of material energy. Yantra means a machine, such as an automobile. The driver of the machine of the body is the individual soul, who is also its director or proprietor. But the supreme proprietor is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One's body is created through the agency of Maya, Karmana Devanetrena, and according to one's activities in this life, another vehicle is created. Again, under the supervision of Devi Maya, Devi Esha Gunamayi Momaya Dhuratyaya, at the appropriate time, one's next body is immediately chosen. And both the individual soul and the super soul transfer to that particular body, bodily machine. This is a process of transmigration. During transmigration from one body to the next, the soul is taken away by the order carriers of Yamaraj and put into a particular type of hellish life, Naraka, in order to become accustomed to the condition in which he will live in his next body. Hare Krishna. So Parikshit Maharaj asked a question to Sukadeva Goswami that how a person in the hell can be delivered. So taking that question, Sukadeva Goswami is narrating this section of this pastime of Ajamila. Sometime, if you are very much sympathetic to somebody who is suffering, we want to do something to that person. But that person is out of our sight. It is like a past. So, in this pastime, Parikshit Maharaj wanted how the persons in the hell can be saved. So, Sukadeva Goswami is giving an example of a person who is about to step into the hell. So, Bhagavatam is so nice that it is so interesting that it is not describing something what happened to that person after he suffered. That builds up the climax. That Parikshit Maharaj asked a question that how a person from the hell can be saved. And Sukadeva Goswami is giving a direct example that how the person is about to enter into the hellish planets, but because of the power of devotional process, he is being saved. That's like we go to sometimes the circus, where they keep so many animals behind the bar. It's not so much interesting. Okay, lion, tiger. And we also heard many times the lions and tigers have killed human beings in the forest. So it's a bad thing, but we are not so much feeling very compassionate for them. It's a past case. But there is another incident takes place in the circus where the lion is standing on the chair with his front legs and it opens its mouth. And the expert person who is trained the lion would come and he has to put his head into the mouth of the lion. So just to see this one scene, people go for the circus. What will happen if the lion closes its mouth? Is it possible for him to escape? The climax and the interest is built up in that particular part of the circus. So similarly, Parikshit Maharaj asked a question, what is the hope for people are suffering in the hell? And Sukadeva Goswami is building the climax in an interesting way so that we'll feel what is going to happen, that the person is about to put his head into the lion or is going to step into the hell. Then what happens? So Bhagavatam is interesting, informative, as well as it inspires. So in this way, Ajamila was in that climax situation that he has done all the required activities, fit candidate more than anyone else to enter into the hellish planets. In spite of that, the power of devotional service is such that it counteracted all those problems. The Sukadeva Goswami is stamping the power of devotional service. So, in this purport, Prabhupada gives some basic understanding of spiritual principles, that is the body and soul, and we'll describe some points where Prabhupada gives in the purport, then we'll further describe in the Ajamila's pastimes. So in the purport, Prabhupada says, materialistic scientists do not know where to find the soul within the body with their material instruments. So Prabhupada says the scientists were not able to find the soul with their material instruments. But Srila Prabhupada is so simple that the scientist may give so much of complicated and so difficult to understand explanations of the life, but Prabhupada just matter of fact just negates them, and he says very simple that the life source or the life force is situated in the heart. And what is the proof? Prabhupada says that just like if there is any motor to be activated, there has to be a generator. There should be a power supply. Then only it runs. The whole body is running because of the motor or the heart. The heart is pumping the blood. So where it gets the source, where it gets the energy, that is from the soul. So soul is situated within the heart. Prabhupada speaks very simple. And the person who is dead, the dead body is there, is not able to move, is not able to do any activities. But before that active principle leaves the body is full of activity. So that means the soul is present within the body. So in this way, Prabhupada gives a simple logic and understanding to establish that the soul is within the body and that is different from the body. And also, Srila Prabhupada mentions in his purports that when the soul occupies different types of body, it serves the time. But only when it occupies human form of life, it is given a choice. The Bhagavad Gita says, Urdvam gacchanti sattvastha matye tishtanti rajasa jaganya gunavrittichya ado gacchanti tamasa. That what the human beings are deciding in their life, that makes them either to go up or go down. An other form of life, we are just serving the time. That's why it is said that even the demigods want to come to the earth planet so that they can utilize their free will in devotional service to the Lord. And the hellish planet, they are just suffering, serving the time. And animal species also, they are just serving the time. But human form of life, we have got a choice to decide. I was just traveling in our local train. I just got this understanding. It is just like we are traveling from Grand Road to Borivali or different lines. So once you go to the Dadar railway station, you have a choice whether to choose central or, you know, western. But once you miss Dadar, you have to serve the time. Just stay in the train. Go to Malad or Borivali. You can't tell, oh, I want to go to Sion. No, you have to come back to Dadar. Or once you come down, again, you have no choice. So similarly, this human form of is like a junction. Of course, somebody is so intelligent, they just avoid the whole thing and stay in spiritual Vaikunthas, which are there within this material plane, temples. So the human form of life is a choice where we can decide our destination. Once if we miss that, we have to serve the time. So this particular canto of Bhagavatam, it describes that what a person should do, should choose after achieving this human form of life. So Sukadeva Goswami, in the previous verses, as introductory verses to the Ajamila pastimes, established the different options. He negated the different options a human being should take in his life to attain spiritual perfection. Karma Kand, Jnana Kand, and different types of atonement. All the choices which a human being can adapt is all negated, but he focuses on the right choice. This is the right choice. What is that? Kechit Kevalaya Bhakti. And he says, Sukadeva Goswami focuses by negating the nonsense principles, and is not only just negating in a theoretical way, and is giving a practical proof from the life of a person, Ajamila. So in this way, we can safely conclude, with the light of Prabhupada's purpose, the material knowledge where the materialistic people proposes are nothing but ignorance. Ignorance of one's own self. But Sukadeva Goswami is presenting a particular knowledge, spiritual knowledge, that is actually real knowledge because it opens up one's real constitutional position. But the more a person is materially educated and knowledgeable, he thinks he is very advanced, but it's nothing but expression of one's own ignorance and incompleteness. One time, Baldev Prabhu and ourselves, we went to this Terana Medical College. So Baldev Prabhu showed that it was a big dental college, 4-5 story building. And Baldev Prabhu discussing with me that such a huge building, and after passing 5 years of study, they feel, okay, we are doctors, dentists. But then actually if you analyze that it is taking for them 5 years just to study a small portion of a human body, that is teeth. Plural is teeth or tooth. Teeth, just to study this teeth. But it is insignificant small part of the body. But if you ask them, I have a problem in my ears, they say, no, we know, we didn't study. So after studying so much of this medical science, just these white teeth, which are just 2 inches and 32 teeth, that's all. And nothing else they can speak. But the materialistic education thinks that they have achieved a great perfection, 5 years of study, doctors. But it is nothing but an insignificant, incomplete understanding of the human body amongst all the species, which is nothing but an insignificant reflection of Krishna's opulence. So, the material knowledge is nothing but ignorance of one's constitutional nature, that is understanding Krishna, who is the source of all these things. So why, when a devotee advances in spiritual life to understand Krishna, who is the source of all this energy? He is a real scientist. He is a real knowledgeable person. Yasmin vijñātam bhavati, etat sarvam vijñātam bhavati. By knowing whom everything is known, that is to be known in our life. That is Krishna consciousness. So here Sukadeva Goswami rejecting all other field of knowledge and activities for material perfection and focusing on spiritual life. So in the introduction to the Ajamil pastime, Sukadeva Goswami is also rejecting the idea of Karmakand and Jnanakand. And also Sukadeva Goswami is saying that one should perform Kechit Kevalya Bhakti. So what he spoke, again if you apply all the 4, 5, 8, 9 verses what Sukadeva Goswami spoke to Parikshit Maharaj in the life of Ajamila, we can see how they are matching. So for a few minutes, we can just take some of the points what Sukadeva Goswami explained and how in the life of Ajamila that has been practiced. So Sukadeva Goswami says, Prayachitani Chirnani Narayana Paranmukam Na Nishnanti Rajendra Surakumbam Ivapaka. Sukadeva Goswami told Parikshit Maharaj that other forms of prayachita and etc. etc. without Narayana Paranmukam, without service to Lord Narayana, cannot help you to achieve perfection. And in the life of Ajamila, we can see that Ajamila performed all kinds of sinful activities, but for the atonement he did not take to Surakumbam Ivapaka or washing himself, his sins, through other materialistic process. He took the devotional service. In fact, if you compare the other processes with the devotional service, Ajamila practically did nothing. She just chanted the holy names of the Lord. But in other cases we see, for example, Karmakand Prachina Barhi, he was so meticulous and so conscious of performing his Karmakand activities so intensely. But the result is, Narada Muni showed him the what you call trial of what is going to achieve the hellish planets. And Saubhariman was so sincere and was so meticulous in performing his Ashtanga Yoga, but carried away by the attraction to the fishes. And Vishwamitra was performing severe austerities, but then still there was a problem. So in spite of long effort and intensity, Prayashitani Chirnani Narayana Paranmukam Na Nishtanti Rajendra Surakumbam Ivapaka. That would not give the full result. But here Ajamila is making us clear that no need of any other process. Just follow devotional service. And also in the Bhagavatam 11th canto, it explains that while performing devotional service, if any fall down or any mistakes takes place, that one need not to do any other process. Again, perform same devotional service. So now Ajamila, while performing devotional service, he fell down. And then Vishnudutas appeared. And he understood that what he did was completely a mistake. But after knowing that I did this mistake, he did not take to any other atonements, but rather he went to Rishikesh and continued the same devotional service. So again, another instruction Sukadeva Goswami gives, that stick to devotional service, whatever up and down can take place in our devotional service. Ajamil again followed the principle that he didn't take to any other process. Sakrimana Krishna Padara Vindayor. And again, Sukadeva Goswami says that Sakrimana Krishna Padara Vindayor. Yes, even if once you take shelter of Krishna, that will cure, that will save a person from going to or seeing Yamadutas or Yamakankaras in the dream. So Ajamila's story, that he not only seeing in the dream, that after Yamadutas comes also still we have a choice. Basically in other forms of processes, that you have got choice till you achieve the time of death. You can't perform Karmakanda ritual. At the time of death, you are lying in the body. Impossible. There is no choice. There is no scope of performing Ashtanga Yoga when you are lying in the bed and Yamadutas are waiting for you. You can't tell Yamadutas, just wait 2 minutes. Let me perform some powerful asana. By that, I can negate. I can push you out. You can't do that. But Sakrin Mana Krishna Padara Vindayo Niveshitum Yad Gunaragi Airiha. But Ajamila, at the time of death, Yamadutas are already waiting. Your head is already in the lion's mouth, and the lion is going to close its mouth, the climax. And already declared, this team is going to win. But at that time, he does something, heroic activity, calls Narayan's name. And immediately, complete change. Vishnudutas appear and tells and gives the ultimate result, that the winner is a different person now. So at the time of death, the devotional service is so powerful that one can even perfect his life, even at given a short time, even in spite of that you have already got the opposite result. The Yamadutas are personally present and they are pulling you. So that is the power of devotional service. Mr. Sukadeva Goswami spoke before Ajamila's pastime. Kechit Kevalaya Bhaktya. And that is exemplified in the pastime of Ajamila. And then, sometimes people think, okay, if that is the case, that one can just chant the holy names of Krishna at the time of death, and one can continue performing sinful activities. But Ajamila's story is so amazing, that Ajamila was, at the last minute, he knows what happened to him. He was completely sinful throughout his life. And then at last minute, he chanted Narayana's name. Then Vishnudutas saved him. So sometimes people think, okay, I will also chant the names of Narayana at the time of death. Till then I can perform sinful activities. But if you're quoting Ajamila, why don't you follow his own example? After he seen Vishnu Dutas, after he realized that because I chanted Narayan's name at the time of death, Vishnu Dutas saved me. So he didn't take this as an excuse. Namna meshaki papa balahi buddhi. He didn't take as a choice, okay, anyway if I chant the names of Narayan, Vishnu Dutas is going to come, so let me continue my usual path. Rather, he went to Rishikesh and intensely started performing devotion service. So Ajamal himself didn't take to the idea, okay, I'll again perform sinful activities, I'll chant the holy names at the end so that I can continue the same thing. In this way, Ajamila is negating the idea of doing devotion service according to one's own convenience. And then, another point Govind Prabhu mentioned in one class, that devotional service is so powerful that from Krishna's point of view, Krishna is so merciful. If anyone chants his holy name, he is so merciful that he forgives their sins and delivers them. But from the sadhaka's point of view, he is not taking it for granted. So Ajamila is not taking that for granted. Okay, Krishna is going to save me. But rather, Ajamila put himself, he was regretting so bad that I performed this sinful activity. And he didn't feel, okay, see, I am so powerful, so great, so famous, that at the time of death, the last minute, Lord Vishnu personally sent his bodyguards, Vishnu Dutas. Security from the spiritual world came for me. So he was not relaxed. Though the holy name is so powerful from Krishna's point of view, the holy name, the Krishna is so merciful, but the devotees from his point of view, he considered himself is so fallen that he needs to perform intense devotional service. Not that, oh, I have seen Vishnu Dutas. Okay, the world has recognized my devotional service. But rather he was so humble. So we see that Ajamila was so humble and understood his position. And because of that, Krishna's name, the name of Narayan, have saved him. But on the other hand, we also see if the humility is not there, the pride is there. Ajamila chanted Narayana's name unconsciously, but without pride. That helped him. But on the other hand, Krishna cannot tolerate the pride. Krishna is only attracted through humility. We can also see other examples that they are consciously in touch with Krishna, but because of the pride, they could not get the Lord's mercy. So today is the appearance of Vakreshwar Pandit. So to illustrate this point, interesting pastimes comes in Chaitanya Bhagavad, that how in spite of being so much close to Krishna, but because of pride, one loses mercy of Krishna falling upon them. So, Srimad Bhagavatam is non-different from Krishna. Krishna Sodamo Upagade Darbha Jnanadavi Saha Kalau Nashta Drisham Yesha Purana Arko Aduno Uditaha. Krishna is non-different from Srimad Bhagavatam. So, Devanand Pandit in the Chaitanya Leela, he was completely, constantly in touch with Srimad Bhagavatam, who is Krishna personified from his childhood. I was narrating so much. In fact, Chaitanya Bhagavat describes Chaitanya Bhagavat describes that Devanand Pandit was so absorbed in reciting Bhagavatam, he took a lifelong vow of celibacy from his childhood and was dedicating his whole life in preaching Srimad Bhagavatam. So the Bhagavat, Chaitanya Bhagavat explains, he had taken a lifelong vow of celibacy like a sannyasi, that he will speak Bhagavatam throughout his life. Then to the purport to that, Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur writes, that his celibacy, his brahmacharya, vow, devoid of devotional service, even though he is reciting Bhagavatam, is cause of his hard-heartedness. So much of brahmacharya, celibacy, all these secondary qualities, devoid of devotion service, made him hard-hearted. And then he was reciting Bhagavatam, and people all over that area was so much of respecting him so much. And once it's also happened, Srivas Pandit also wanted to hear Srimad Bhagavatam from Devanand Pandit. So Srivas Thakur went to the assembly where Devanand Pandit was reciting Srimad Bhagavatam. And Devanand Pandit was reciting Srimad Bhagavatam, and Srivas Thakur was sitting and hearing. But when he heard the recitation of Srimad Bhagavatam, Srivas Thakur went into ecstasy because he has a devotion within his heart. He started manifesting his ecstatic symptoms spontaneously. His lips started quivering. He started crying. His body started trembling. The students who are studying under Devanand Pandit, Chaitanya Bhagavat explains, they are studying Srimad Bhagavatam under Devanand Pandit for the sake of knowledge and for the sake of reputation, not for the sake of devotion. They felt that Srivas Thakur is a disturbance who is wasting our study time of Bhagavatam. So they lifted him and they threw him out of the place, out of the house of Devanand Pandit. And Devanand Pandit is also like of their disciples reading Bhagavatam without devotion. He didn't object that. So that was offense Devanand Pandit committed. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, though at that time not revealed his manifested pastime of a devotee, but he understood. And later when he saw Devanand Pandit, he became furious and shouted at him that because why did you, Mahaprabhu told Devanand Pandit, why did you remove Srivas Thakur from the house? He was crying for Krishna. What wrong he did? If anyone cries after hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, what wrong he did? Why did you throw him out of the place? And then, in this way, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because of disrespect to his devotee, because of the pride, he didn't recognize Devanand Pandit. He removed from his association. But at the same time, later, Devanand Pandit, he was so miserable that Mahaprabhu rejected me. But because he was regretful, another time when Vakreshwar Pandit, whose appearance we are having today, the Vakreshwar Pandit Prabhu used to dance so ecstatically for the pleasure of Krishna. So he was dancing ecstatically. In fact, Vakreshwar Pandit used to tell Mahaprabhu that, give me a Gandharva, I want to just dance all throughout. Let him sing and I'll dance for his singing of the holy names. So he was famous for dancing amongst Mahaprabhu's associates, Vakreshwar Pandit. And he was dancing so much, and Devanand Pandit, he was trying to control the crowd so that Vakreshwar Pandit Prabhu can dance without being disturbed. And because of this service he rendered to Vakreshwar Pandit, because of the devotional attitude Devanand Pandit had towards Vakreshwar Pandit, Mahaprabhu told, now I forgive your offenses what you committed to Srivas Thakur. So here we see that Devanand Pandit was rejected by the Lord because of, even though he is intimately connected with Krishna through Srimad Bhagavatam, but without having that humility and devotional service to the Lord, he was rejected. But when he manifested the devotional qualities of obedience, service to the devotees, he was admitted by the Lord. Similarly, Ajamila, even though he was apparently not very much chanting an expert understanding, but because of his no pride in his heart and because of helplessness, that one name of Narayan saved him at the time of death. So in this way, in this episode of Ajamila, we are seeing how that by taking to Kechit Kevalaya Bhaktiya, by taking to pure devotional service, rejecting all other forms of devotional service, one can achieve perfection if a person is humble and sincerely following the devotional process. So we'll stop here. If there is any corrections or comments, questions we can take.
Hi Krishna, thank you very much for the class. This pastime of Lord Chaitanya, forgiving Devananda Pandit, I always had a conception that offenses was a personal thing. For example, I commit offense to you, I have to get forgiveness from you.
Yeah.
But in this pastime, it seems that he committed offense to Srivastakur, but Lord Chaitanya forgot him when he served another devotee. Yeah. Can you please explain this?
I also thought the same thing, but maybe some expert devotees can answer. I also don't know the exact answer. Devanand Pandit offended Srivastakur, but when he rendered some simple service to Vakreshwar Pandit Prabhu, he was been forgiven by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, generally, till now we hear that one has to beg forgiveness from the same devotee. We only know that somebody can pray on behalf of another devotee. Somebody is not performing devotional service properly, or some problem, that we can pray for him, Krishna does something for that person who is not directly prayed. But as far as offense is concerned, that other person cannot take back forgiveness on behalf of the person who offended. He has to do himself. But in this case of Devanand Pandit, Mahaprabhu have done, somebody can comment, you like to? Yeah, so Gopinath Chandrapur is mentioning that Devanand Pandit also been told by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to beg forgiveness from Srivastakur also. So that is information we are receiving from Chaitanya Bhagavat. So in that sense, it's not that he only did service to Akrishat Pandit Prabhu, but he's also begged forgiveness from Srivastakur. So that's why he could be forgiven. So that it is intact that one has to beg forgiveness to the person who is offended. Thank you. Grandhra Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki. अरे चैतन्य भगवान का प्रीतम गायब हो गया।